How can you set up a communal Erev Techumen to allow anyone to join? So he places a barrel of food at the place of the Erev and he states that it should be for anyone in the city who wants to make use of this to go do a mitzvah, to be Menachem Avol, or to join a wedding. Anyone in the city then who accepts to have the Erev effective him before Shabbos begins is permitted to travel based on that Erev. If he makes the decision after Shabbos has begun, the Erev is not effective for that person because an Erev must be established before Shabbos begins. So Chachamim Rabbi Yosef said that you're only allowed to establish an Erev Techumen to facilitate the performance of a mitzvah. In fact, that's obvious. Our Mishnah says he set us up the Erev to allow someone to go, be Menachem Avol, join a chasm, etc. Mar says we would have thought the Mishnah is saying the usual case, that it's set up for someone who has to travel for those reasons, but it can maybe be in fact set up for any reason. Rabbi Yosef teaches it has to be only for a mitzvah. Mishnah said v'chol shekibah lo b'moed yom. Since the Mishnah says it has to be, they have to decide before Shabbos begins, it seems that the Mishnah doesn't hold a brayer. Rabashi said the Mishnah means he must have a knowledge before Shabbos that the Erev exists. If he does, then he's allowed to make the decision even once it's already Shabbos, because the principle of brayer would make it that the choice was effective from before Shabbos. Rabashi said a child in his sixth year, and certainly a child who's younger than that, automatically gets the tchum boundary of his mother's Erev. In fact, my Rabashi says a child who still needs his mother gets the boundary of her Erev. A child who does not need his mother does not automatically get the boundaries of the mazir. With regard to sitting in a sukkah, when the term of needs his mother, over there, Rabbi Yana explains it means a child who can go to the bathroom doesn't need his mother to clean him. Rabbi Shlokh says it means a child who wakes up without screaming incessantly for his mother. The Gemara explains this refers to a child who's in his fourth or sixth or fifth year. This is different than Rabbi Asi said, who said in his sixth year. So Rabbi Shubra, the son of Rabbi Edi, said that Rabbi Asi would agree that a child is automatically included in the mother's Erev until the end of the fifth year. Rabbi Asi was talking about a case where a child's father made him an Erev in one direction, his mother made him an Erev in another direction. Rabashi said a child, even in his sixth year, still rather be with his mother, and therefore the area that his mother set up for him is the one that will be effective. In fact, Gemara Brais said that a child until his sixth year gets the boundary of his mother's area. This is not like Rabbi Yeshua has just explained. To Yufta, this refutes Rabbi Yeshua his explanation. This seems to refute Ravasi as well, because the Brisa says until the sixth year. Ravasi said through the sixth year. Ravasi means until, meaning ad vi ad dechlal, the sixth year. But this seems to refute Rabbi Yani and Reish Lakish. Where it says the case in Sukkah was where the boy's father was in town. Therefore, even at a younger age, he was not so dependent on his mother. The Brisa is discussing where the father's not around. That's why he's very, even a little bit older, he's still very dependent on his mother. Brisa says a person may make an heir for his minor children and his non-Jewish slaves even without their consent. However, he may make an heir for his adult children, his Jewish slaves and his wife, only with their consent. Another Brisa says this as well. It says, a person can't make an heir for his adult children, Jewish slaves, or wife without their consent, but can make for his minor children and non-Jewish slaves without their consent, because their view is an extension of him. In fact, if this last group makes an heir and their master makes an heir in a different place, they must follow their master's heir except for a wife who doesn't need to follow her husband's heir because she's allowed to object to it. Rabbi explains this means that a wife and those similar to her, meaning the adult children and Jewish slaves, may object. It seems from the Braisa that if the wife does not explicitly object to her husband's heir, she'll be subject to it. However, at the beginning of the Braisa, it says that she must explicitly consent before an heir is made for her. Mary answers, the beginning of the Braisa means that her silence is considered to be a showing of consent as well. In fact, by the end of the Braisa, if the minor children or the non-Jewish slaves made an Erev, but their master made one for them as well, they're subject to the master's Erev. The Braisa seems to be discussing where they did not specifically object, and yet the Braisa says that in these circumstances, a wife would not be subject to her husband's Erev. We see that she doesn't have to explicitly object. Rava said the fact that the wife went and made her own Erev, that's considered to be the biggest objection that there is to her husband's Erev. Zok the Mishnah, Erev Tchumen needs to have two meals worth of food for each person who's relying on this Erev. Rav Meir says we measure based on a person's weekday meals, which is smaller than a Shabbos meals. Rav Yehuda says we measure on the Shabbos meals, which he holds are smaller than his weekday meals. Rav Yechonon Breker says, if bread is used for the Erev, the size of the loaf must be the amount purchased for a punyan when 4 saw of grain is purchased for a selah, which presumably means that the loaf has to be a half of a kav, which is enough for 2 meals. Rav Shimon says the bread needs to be 2/3 of a loaf, which is of which 3 such loaves can make up a kav, which would mean 2/9 of a kav is enough for 2 meals. Half of this amount is needed for measuring how long a person has to be in a house with a nega before he becomes tamei. 1/4 of this amount is the amount which if eaten by a tamei person will cause the person to which if eaten when tamei will cause the person who eats it to become possible, meaning he'll be tamei without having the ability to pass the tumah along. Meaning when the bread is tamei, if the person is tar, then when the person eats it, he'll become possible through that. For the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how much food must the Erev have? Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, says there must be an amount of 2 breads that the farmers carry with them when they're leading their oxen. Rav Adabar Hava says 2 breads of the type that they have in the Har Papa. Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rava, whose view did your father follow? He said that he followed Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosef said, I also follow Rabbi Meir because it seems that people eat more on Shabbos when they have all that good food. Mishnah said Rabbi Yechonon ben Breka Omer. Bryce says that Rabbi Yechonon ben Breka and Rav Shimon's views are very close to being the same. In fact, according to Rabbi Yechonon, there are 4 meals to a kav, and according to Rav Shimon, there are 9 meals to a kav. So how can you say they're close to being together? Rav Chisa says we have to remove the 1/3 profit charged by the store owner from Rabbi Yechonon's calculation. That would make it 6 meals to a kav according to him, and 4 meals for a kav according to the. 6 meals according to him, and 9 meals according to Shimon, so it's closer. In fact, when Rabbi Yochanan says there are 6 meals, Shimon says there are 9, still not that close. Mara says the profit of the store owner is actually a half, not just a third, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there are 8 meals to a kav, and according to Shimon, there are 9 meals to a kav. In fact, they're still not the same. Rabbi Yochanan says there are 8, Shimon says there are 9. The Mara says, yeah, but that's what it means, that they're very close. This is what the Brisa means, that they're very close. And Echanami, not the same, but they're very close to being next to being the same. In fact, the Mara of Chista is self-contradictory. On the one hand, he says that the profit is equal to a third. On the other hand, he says equal to a half. The Mara says, when the buyer supplies the wood for the oven, the profit is only a third. When the store owner provides the wood to heat the oven, the profit that he takes is equal to one half.